When Tang Chang refused to surrender and choose execution instead. The day before his execution, he wrote his poetry. And in his poetry, the first sentence is, "Heaven and earth has an orthodox qi." Orthodox qi means righteousness, energy of righteousness. And then it said, when this qi condenses, it forms all of the physical phenomena. In the heavens, it becomes the stars, the sun, and the moon, one condensation of this energy. And on earth, it becomes the mountains and the rivers and all the geography, the planet. In man, this qi manifests as awesome life force. So that's the word awe here. And this orthodox qi pervades the entire universe. Okay? So, imagine a man who is going to be executed tomorrow, he wrote down what his perception of reality is before he dies. That is why I'm not afraid of dying. Because life is awesome, and life comes from the same energy that created this universe. That's Wen Tian Chang, and he's a Confucius. That means he's a literal person. He studies Confucianism. He has no particular inclination to any religion at all. So that is certainly a philosophy with a view of the universe of a single energy that pervades the universe, creates the heaven, and creates earth, and exhibits itself in human beings. That is his narrative. Next, still in China, we go to Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu, who founded Taoism and wrote the Tao Te Ching. There, he says, the universe runs by Tao. Tao meaning the way, the certain way that upholds the universe. It is the natural law of the universe. Okay? And when this natural law is manifested in humans, it's called the or virtue. That's why the Tao Te Sutra, Tao Te Ching. Tao means the way. Te means virtue. So there, again, he's saying, there's certain natural law that governs the universe that transpire into human. So again, it fulfills the place of humanity in relationship to the heavens. These two are the prevailing philosophy in China. One is Confucianism, best represented by Wen Tianchang, and best represented by Lao Tzu, the Tao Te Ching author. Wen Tianchang is at least 3,000 years after Lao Tzu. But you can see the entire tradition in China is natural law. I mean, no God in there. Yet, the interpretation is there's a force in the universe, or if it is not a force, then it's a regulation in the universe. It's some law in the universe. And then this law or energy of the universe will manifest in human being in a different form, but it's the same law or same force. Okay? So we now leave China and go to India. Now you're beginning to see the Eastern culture and the Western culture, they use different terms, but they talk about the same concept. Now let's move to our beloved India, with all its great philosophy. And there, mainly, we're looking at the orthodox and the heterodox.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the orthodox have six schools, and heterodox is mainly Buddhism and Jainism. They all use the same term, but mean something slightly different. So now I'm going to forget their different definitions, but go back to the original definitions. So they have one word that means energy, prana. In the universe it's called prana. In human it's pranaya. They have one word, dham, which means natural law. Dham is that upholds the entire universe. The law that upholds, actually dham just means uphold, right? So they use this word uphold to mean laws that uphold the entire universe. And then in human, it becomes dharma. They have kam, which means action. And then in human, they become karma, which means residue of those actions, or consequences of those actions. So these are the original root meaning. Now today, they got it all mixed up. Today, they don't have the word prana anymore in their Indian vocabulary. Nobody uses it anymore. Today, the word dham and dharma means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the current Indian language, kam and karma means the same thing. No, they don't. They didn't. In ancient India. Now let's go to Tathagatagata and Alaya. The individual, we say we have an alaya consciousness, and then the entire collective consciousness, we call that the Tathagatagata. Now, I'm going to explain the placement of each word in each cell of the table later on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to go through the table.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to get the big picture first.
Mm-hmm.
So now, that's Indian philosophy. Let's take philosophy, Eastern, Western, religious or non-religious all together. In the universe, we talk about ontology, metaphysics, and Dharmakaya. It's all pertaining to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And in human, we talk about phenomenology, physics, and Dharmadakti.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So ontology versus phenomenology.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphysics versus physics, and Dharmakaya versus Dharmadakti. Okay? So this table will unite philosophy with religion, and they will unite Chinese and Indian philosophy, and it will unite Eastern culture with Western culture with the God narrative. So everything is one story being told using different words throughout the world. So then, religious people, non-religious people, theists, atheists, philosophers, scientists, they should all be sitting down happily together, and that is the AW icon. Religion equals metaphysics equals fine. Alright? It's always the one thing. So if someone pick on a tiny little thing on why does ATV says, you know, human has a soul.
Mm.
Too bad, all right? And then you stop coming to AWE because AWE said human have a soul. I'm sorry, I cannot entertain those, right? I leave it to you guys to guide them, okay? Because you can call it soul, you can call it spirit, and you can call it awe or virtue, or you can call it prana or dharma, karma or alaya or phenomenology or dhamma. It doesn't matter. People will nitpick on one word. I'm sorry. I don't have time to guide those people, okay?
Can you put Muslim into the...
Sure. Remember I said Abrahamic religion.
Yeah.
I did not say Christian. I said Abrahamic religion and the original Greek polytheism. And the polytheism also includes your Viking stuff.
Mm.
Alright, so now we all got a big picture and the entire human race throughout time has been united with one single picture. This is who we are. That should be very inspirational, right? So this is for people who is beyond Buddhism. This inspiration is not for that. In fact, this inspiration is to get away from that, to break that kind of small thinking box. Right? This is the mother of all human thinking box. Okay, this is the biggest thinking book there is, because it takes all the religion, all the philosophy throughout time and put them in a single narrative.
Can you put science somewhere?
Right there, physics. Natural law is all science, but science is trying to find natural law. That's why I study life for thousands of years. That's why we have laws of thermodynamics. Quantum physics, relativity, it's all natural law.